All right, good morning and happy Father's Day. So I saw this on the chair up here and it says world's greatest dad. But I think there's a mistake because it says it's Jeremy Yuan. But my kids told me I'm the world's greatest dad. So I think we're going to have a rumble later. I'm not sure. But anyways, happy Father's Day. We're going to have a little bit of a sports theme. So I thought that would be a little bit funny to do that at the beginning. So again, welcome. So today we're going to be looking at actually a passage in Deuteronomy, but before we do that, men, I want you to get yourself in the mindset of being on a team. So we are dads, and we're spiritual dads on a team that actually has a serious battle in front of us, the stakes of which are the future direction of our kids' lives. So our team is the family of God, and we have a special role to play on that team. So today we're going to be reviewing some aspects of our playbook. And I'll be leading you as player slash coach, Kyle. So now I want to emphasize that all men are part of this team. So whether you have kids in the house or they've grown up or not, we're all part of this team. That does not qualify you. All of us have two things in common. We were all once children ourselves, specifically boys, and all of us men have the opportunity to impact kids' lives, whether here at church or in our daily lives. So as we open up our playbook, I want you to ponder this quote. The children in our churches today are the leaders of the church in 2050. Our investment in God's work in their lives could produce world-changing results. So men, are you ready to study our playbook today? Yeah. Wow, that was weak. Now I know what Pastor Robert is like when up here. Well, there's two kinds of people, those that answer and those that don't. Okay, so men, are you ready to study our playbook today? Yeah. There we go. All right. All right, so to get started, I'm going to read off some inspirational, motivational pregame speeches from previous coaches, also known as dad quotes. The second time you get kicked in the head by a mule, it's not a learning experience. A closed mouth gathers no feet. Always throw away the box when you take the last piece of candy. Right, Ezra? Honesty is like a trail. Once you get off it, you realize you are lost. Measure twice, cut once. There we go. That's my dad that said that. Knowing what's right from wrong is education. Doing what's right is execution. The latter is the hard part. Potential means you haven't done your best yet. Never be so broke that you cannot afford to pay attention. And this last one, this is a democratic family. Everyone gets a vote, and I get 5. All right, so some humor, but there's some really good words of wisdom from dads, right? But to get our time started, I actually asked a youth to come up and talk about his dad. And since his brother gave the message a couple weeks ago and his dad did last week, I thought it was only fitting that Jaden got his turn on the stage. So Jaden, why don't you come up and talk about your dad?
Well, hello. Well, this is not the last time you're going to hear this today, but happy Father's Day. Yeah, if you guys don't know me, I'm Jaden Chi. Most of you know me, but I've been coming to this church all my life. I play on the worship team with my brother and my mom, and my dad right there, that's Henry Chi. He's an elder at this church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to be talking about him today, but before I do, I want to share this Bible verse that I kind of got highlighted to me. It's from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's what my dad would call the mission statement of a father. So yeah, this is how my dad does that. My dad does that for me by offering to spend time with me reading things like devotionals or the Bible with me in the morning. To be honest with all of you, I don't really read the Bible as much as I should. Because sometimes it's just hard for me to read it by myself, and I'm not as motivated to do it by myself. That's why it's so good when my dad, being supportive of me, He wants to take time out of his busy schedule to come talk to me and say, hey, Jaden, you want to read the Bible with me today? And, you know, just being the way I am, I'm like, no, I don't want to read the Bible. But the more he asks me, maybe they'll be like, he'll ask me like 3 times in a week. Maybe one of those weeks I'll say yes and we'll read the Bible. Yeah. But yeah, I still put up a fight, of course. He, not only does he teach me the Bible though, he's also a fun and silly guy. Like, he's really funny. So he likes to do dad jokes. Everyone knows dad jokes. Corny jokes, but funny. Yeah, he makes those too. And he also likes to make like K-drama references and makes fun of us when we mispronounce things. I tell you guys, I thought the name Pamela was pronounced Pamela until he let me know. Now it's a joke in our family. But yeah, I love my dad's humor. I wouldn't admit it to his face, but I do. And yeah, but that's not my favorite memories with my dad. My favorite memories with my dad, it's actually kind of random. We'll just be in the car, be driving to, I don't know, basketball practice, something like that. And it'll be the family in the car, but it's really just me and my dad because my brother and my mom are just asleep. They're conked out. You know, I think they have carcolepsy, you know, narcolepsy in the car. The minute they get in the car, they're just out. Take a snooze. But yeah, back to the memory. No one's really saying anything, kind of silent. I don't know, maybe I got my AirPods in. Dad's just driving. And all of a sudden, he'll look at me in the rearview mirror. And I'll look back at him. And then I'll just be like, you know, break the ice. I'll be like, make a funny face. And then he'll look back at me and he'll be like, he's like, what are you doing, bro? And he's like, looking at me like that. And then we'll just be making funny faces at each other until he smiles at me. He goes like, and I love it because it makes me feel special because that's the smile that he has for me. When I wake up in the morning, I'm all groggy and I'm walking out of the door. He's like, he gives me that smile. Or when I go say hi to him in the morning, or if I just see him, he gives me that smile and it makes me feel special, really. To me, it symbolizes that everything's okay, and it lightens the mood, and it reassures me that he's happy and loves me. He doesn't do it just in the car. He does it, like, everywhere, like I've just said. All right, there's another thing that he does that makes me feel really special. It's when he brings me food. I love food. So I'll be at home doing schoolwork, I don't know, something boring, then he'll go run errands and we'll meet with someone or something. But when he comes back, he'll have saved me a part of his meal. Or he'll have his own, like, he'll buy me something, some yummy food that I really like. And it makes me feel special because I know he's thinking about me and he loves me and he wants to share. Like, a lot of times he'll just be out and he'll, like, eat something and be like, oh, this is really good. I want Jaden to have some. And that really does make me feel special. Just knowing that, like, he'll always be here and he'll have something for me because he loves me. Yeah, I'm not sure if food is a love language, but it would definitely show up on my test, like, if I took it. Yeah, so that's all that I love and appreciate about my dad. There's more, but this is just the few things I wanted to highlight. But before I want to go today, I want to bless all the fathers here in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the fathers here today, spiritual and physical. They're our mentors. They care for us. They protect us. They love us. Thank you, Lord, for giving that to us children. And I just want to pray, and I want the fathers to know, just pray that the fathers would know that their children love them and they listen to you. No matter how, like, harsh or how much we seem like we don't listen, but we really do take it and we do care what you say. We just want to butt heads. So I want to pray that all the fathers have peace and joy knowing that. In Jesus' name, pray, amen.
Thanks, Jaden. All right, thanks, Jaden. So we're going to look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 7 to be our passage for today. I'll give you a little bit of background before we read that. This passage comes right after the Ten Commandments are given to the Israelites, and God is, or Moses is giving those as a some instructions on how to navigate the foreign land of Canaan that they're going to be going into. They're going to be dealing with hostile religions, worldly values, various cultures, you know, similar to things that we deal with today. So let's read that verse, those verses. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So today we're going to try something a little different. We're going to go backwards from the verse. So we're going to start at the bottom, and then we're going to work our way up. So the second part of verse 7 talks about the first part of our playbook, men, and that is investing our time. To have an effective playbook, every team needs to have good time management principles. You see it in the two-minute drill in football, the shot clock in basketball, now the pitch clock in baseball. But it's also about utilizing the countless hours of practice, of coaching, physical conditioning. We got to use our time wisely to be an effective team. So in the second part of verse 7 says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And the them there is the commands of God, the truths that are in the Bible. So this passage implies that our kids' spiritual growth should be constant. It should be happening morning to evening throughout the day, but it's also wherever we go. It's at home or when we're out and about. For those men with kids in the house still, I want you to think about this stat I came across. It says between 85 and 95% of the in-person time you're going to spend with your kids will happen before they turn 18. Let that sink in a little bit. So that means between 5 and 15% of the time that you're going to spend in person with your kids is going to happen over the next 40, 50 years, depending on how long you live. Are we consciously parenting with that reality in mind? And I'm not sure I really thought of it that way when my kids were younger, but I'm definitely starting to get that urgency. I got a teenager, and you know, 18 comes pretty quick. Right, Trish? Looking over at Trish over there. But it's especially true as we try to shape their spiritual growth. We have a limited amount of time. If you're a spiritual dad in the room here, or if your kids are already grown, think about the even smaller window of available time you have to impact kids, either here at church or in your daily lives. It could be a nephew, niece, or friends. It's really a short window. As we look at talk about investing our time, I want you to listen to this story about Charles Francis Adams. He was a 19th century diplomat, politician. His grandfather and great-grandfather were two of our presidents, John Adams and John Quincy Adams. So he came from a well-established family. But he put an entry in his diary one time, and he says this, went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. But his son, Brooke, also kept a journal. And on that same day, he said, went fishing with my father. The most wonderful day of my life. The father thought he was wasting his time. Maybe he could have been doing something more important, more prestigious. And that's what he thought. But his son saw it for what it could have been, a true investment of his time. Think of these two quotes right here. I'm going to do one at a time that I found. Everyone gets the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We make time for what we truly want. Or this next one that gets even a little bit more personal. Instead of, I don't have time, try saying, it's not a priority, and see how that feels. You know, that one hits home. Like, my kids are actually in the service today, and when they told me they were going to stay in, I was like, oh, man, I don't want them to be in there, because I knew this part would be a little harder. But yeah, I've had times where it's like I was selfish. And basically I told them, you're not a priority. And I've seen that, and I'm learning from it, but there's times where I have to fight. I don't want to do it. It doesn't sound fun. I don't really care for that. And there's times where genuinely I'm tired and I'm worn out and there's things that I can't do. But I'm getting better at saying, hey, can you just give me 10 minutes? Let me just recharge a little. Or how about we do something different? I still want to spend time with you, but can we do something different? But we have that opportunity. And are we wasting it? And not just spending time, but spending quality time. Are we, like Jaden said, are we getting into the Word with our kids? You know, Henry's inviting them, hey, do you want to read the Bible together? They might say no, but they might say yes here and there. Are we investing into our kids' spiritual growth? Let me read this quote from Pastor John Tyson. It says, sometimes people debate about quality time versus quantity time. In some sense, they are both valuable. But a more helpful way to look at time is the brevity of time. When it comes to being a dad, we can waste time and regret it for the rest of our lives. We can use time doing what is needed without awareness or wonder. So basically just doing the basics. Or we can invest time sowing seeds of love and connection that will bear fruit over the course of your life. And finally, you can redeem your time, buying back the seconds and days that seem like ordinary moments to be present, to love, to instruct, to comfort, to celebrate, to laugh, and to cry. Dads, be present. Fight distraction. Be patient. Savor everything and invest deeply, because these are the days you will long to have again. Now, it's a pretty powerful call right there by Pastor Tyson. Man, are we going to utilize the limited time that we have in our kids' lives to grow them into godly men and women? Let's choose to invest our time wisely and with purpose. So that's the first part of our playbook about how we invest time as dads, spiritual dads. Another huge aspect of the game plan needs to be about instilling resilience. You've seen that effective teams can handle when their opponents make a big play. Or when they make that big play or there's a bad call against them, they don't get rattled and they don't lose focus of their game plan. Now, I think of Coach Phil Jackson. He used to do this with his teams. He would let his teams, the opponents would make big runs and he would make his teams figure it out. Like, I'm not going to call a timeout and tell you what you're doing wrong or give you a chance to take a breather. Fix it on the court. And that built resilience in them. We need to instill the same type of resilience and tough-mindedness in our kids' lives and especially in their faith. The Deuteronomy passage in the first part of verse 7 says, impress them on your children. So these biblical truths aren't just meant to be just, you know, recited here and there. They're to be shaping our kids and their future. So to be impressed upon them, it's molding them and shaping them. It's not just being placed on top of them. Now, you'll probably be hearing a little bit more about this word resilient because as a staff, we're going through a book by that same title. And it's really about building up the next generation of kids to be resilient in their faith and strong disciples that are going to be the kids that get to the 2050 church and lead it. They give this definition of resilience in the book. I really found it really helpful. A quality describing the spiritual elasticity of a child or adult. The resistant strength to bend and flex but not break against the weight of culture. I think that's so needed today, right? The culture is coming at our kids hard and fast. It's not that we can have them avoid it, so it's going to come at them, but we have to give them the ability to be resilient where they can stand. They might bend a little bit, but they have to have that foundation where they're going to be able to have come back to what their truths are. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, it says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. So the world is going to bring us troubles, and it's going to press on us. It's going to get into our minds and make us perplexed. If we have the resilience, we won't go to despair. We'll be able to bounce back and be able to weather it, and just like the pressures that are surrounding us. In the book, they use two words to describe this. They use spine and heart. It's kind of similar to the grace and truth that we had heard about in the messy grace material. But they describe it this way. Spine points to truth. Heart builds a bridge that wins that truth favor. So we're to give our kids spine and truth. So give them that foundation, that strength of a spine that can still let them flex and bend a little bit when things happen, but it's going to get back to that upright position. But it has to be delivered with a heart. It can't be just rigid, or they're not going to take it in. It has to be a blend of the two. And then as they receive that spine and heart, when they interact with the world, they're going to be able to bring God's truth. But they're going to be able to bring it with love, and that's going to be a bridge to allow people to receive it. Now, I want to point out here for spiritual fathers in the room. I'm one of those as well. I have my own kids, but I'm a spiritual dad to other kids here. In that book, they really emphasize the impact that they say non-parental adults. I know it sounds kind of clinic talk, but non-parental adults have a huge impact in kids' lives. Here's a quote from the book. Research has demonstrated that significant non-parental adults play a very important role in the lives of children and adolescents. So like I said, I'm a dad, but I'm a non-parental adult. I teach here in Sunday school. I interact with kids on my kids' teams and just my nephews and nieces. I have a role as a non-parental adult as well. I want to pour into those kids just as I want non-parental adults to pour into my kids' lives. So whether we have our own kids or not, we have a role, men, to play in this. So I want you to be remembering about how we can instill resilience. Now, I've been on my own journey with my older son recently. In the spring, he had got his first job, and it was out in the public's eye, and he had people watching him, and he had a lot of fear, and he had a lot of things that he was trying to overcome. And I had to walk with him. So by walking with him, I was helping him build his spine. Like, I had to be there to support him because he couldn't do it on his own. But I had to be able to do it with love. I couldn't just say, just tough it up, although I said that sometimes. But I had to back it up with heart, too. I had to say, hey, I want the best for you. I'm here for you. I believe in you. I know you can do this. And I saw him grow and take steps, and it was awesome. You know, he even had this, probably the most difficult day that he had. I wanted to give up. I wanted to say, oh, this is just too hard. I don't want to do this. This is hard for me. But I knew if I let him take the easy way out, it was going to be that much harder for him in the future. He was going to have to overcome that hurdle again, and that hurdle was going to be even higher. And so I said, yeah, I'm going to stick with it. And I remember that day, like he finished his job that day, and we were walking to the car, and this blew me away. He said, Dad, thanks for making me do this. I'm trying to think of the words to say. I was proud. I was grateful. I was scared that maybe I was pushing too far. Maybe this was going to backfire, but that made it worth it. And that night I was so exhausted, but I thought, you know what? It was worth it. And so Eli, I'm proud of you. But the other cool part is that there was a lot of other non-parents that were speaking into him because he had views about himself, about his abilities, and that he was telling himself lies. But other parents were coming in and saying, no, you're doing a great job. You're my kid's favorite. You're this, you're that. And he could hear it from me and my wife, but he could say, that's just mom and dad. They're supposed to tell me those things, right? But he had all these other people, and we had to keep reinforcing. Listen, you can have those thoughts in your mind, but what's true? Is it that, or is it eight other people that are telling you the opposite? And you have to start being able to battle through that. So it's not been an easy journey, but that's part of my role as dad. And that's part of what I do when I coach kids, too. I feel like that's part of my role. I have to teach these kids about some resilience. But as we wrap this section up, dads, we have to be careful that we do it with heart. There's two verses I'm going to put on the screen here. I'm not going to read them, but you know, if we don't do it with heart, this is what happens. We provoke our kids. They become angry, or we aggravate our kids, and then they're going to be discouraged. But when we are able to instill spine in their lives, but do it with heart, those kind of things can be avoided. And that's the way God asks us to do it. You know, these two verses, I think, actually lead us into our next section. And that one is a little bit tougher. And that's, men, we have to inspect our hearts. So that's verse 6. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. So first, before we start bringing these truths to our kids and to impart those into kids, we have to look at our own heart. Great teams can own their shortcomings and mistakes and deal with them in a way that makes them stronger as a team. So in addition to investing time into our kids and helping them instill resilience, the dad's playbook requires us to look at our own junk. So we have to build a solid foundation on the Lord and His Word to be able to impart those truths to the next generation. I like this quote from Frederick Douglass. It says, "It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men." Right, all of us, we've all had brokenness passed on to us by our dads. I mean, my dad's here today. I love you, Dad. He wasn't always the best growing up, but I saw him continue to transform, and to now I see him passing the transformation that he's done in his life down to my kids. And so it doesn't have to stop just because our kids are out of the house. You know, maybe we missed opportunities, but we can always take those opportunities up. Man, we need to be intentionally looking at our stuff, because if we don't transform our pain, we will most assuredly be transmitting it. And unfortunately, I think a lot of dads get stuck on this step. Either choosing not to see what's going on inside, or they choose to see what's going on inside and then decide not to do anything about it. It doesn't mean that you can't lead your children, but it does limit your effectiveness. And God wants the best for us, so He wants us to deal with the stuff inside. I'm going to give a plug again for our prayer ministries. It's one of the strengths of our church, and I've been the recipient of prayer, and I've been on teams that have provided the prayer, and all the times I can tell you that God does some awesome stuff. He's very gentle and humble at heart, and when we approach Him with our needs and our brokenness, He heals, and it brings transformation. So I encourage you to do that. I did that with myself. I knew I didn't want to pass certain things on to my kids, so I went through IPM with Catherine, and it was great, and I saw just huge shift in my life. So man, let's clear out the stuff, and then let's let God pour in His truth, and let that be the ultimate playbook in our lives. And the last section that we're going to talk about actually kind of incorporates the first three, and that's being an intentional father. To invest our time, to instill resilience, and inspect our own hearts, dads need to be intentional. A good team doesn't come together on its own and function at a high level by chance. Likewise, healthy spiritual development in our homes and in our kids' lives won't just happen on its own. It takes intentionality and purpose. Do you want to leave your kids' future to chance or luck? It's said that chance is a lousy teacher and an even worse guide. Man, let's be intentional. Someone's going to disciple your son or daughter. It's either going to be you and godly people that you let into their lives, or it's going to be the world. I'm reading through this book right here by John Tyson called The Intentional Father. And it's a really good book, and it's giving practical steps on what it looks like to be intentional. But you have to be future thinking. And for me, I'm very present oriented. So this book was very helpful because it made me start thinking, oh, what about further down the road? And in the book, he kind of has you close your eyes and think about a certain day. And that day is the day your son or daughter leaves home. So whether your kids are older, you know, teenagers, or whether they're really young, think about that day further out. And what do you want your kids to know and be like by the time they get to that stage? And for me, it was really good, and it was challenging. But he has you ask four questions. What do you want your son or daughter to know about God, himself or herself, and about life? So this question is about wisdom. What kind of wisdom do you want them to know? The second is, who do you want your son or daughter to be? So this one is their character. What kind of character do you want them to develop by the time they become an adult? The third one is, what skills do you want your son or daughter to have? So what kind of skills are necessary for them to be a successful, functioning adult? And last one, what formational experiences do you want him or her to have? So what kind of experiences do you want to help them have that are going to reinforce those first three questions? Now, it takes intentionality, right? I'm on a journey of this with my kids, especially Eli, as he's a teenager. And I heard about this concept early last year, so early 2022, I believe. So it talks about like celebrating their moments when they become teenagers and things like that, especially for boys. You're calling them into stepping into becoming a man. They're on that journey. So for one of our things, they said, celebrate when they turn 13. So I asked him, like, what do you want to do when you turn 13? What's something special? So he came up with this. He wanted to eat a 4x4 sandwich at In-N-Out. So we went to In-N-Out. We built it up. Right, we're going to go to In-N-Out. He's like, I want to eat a 4x4. So Bob asked earlier. Yes, he ate it. And this is him after. A little dramatized, but I mean, he ate it. The last couple bites were tough, and he kind of felt sick because I think it was too much meat at one time. But it was fun. We still talk about it. We laugh about it. But that was kind of a simple thing that we did. But then throughout that year, I was kind of thinking, like, what else is involved in this? And just kind of pressing into it a little bit more. Things happened. He wanted to go. His favorite football team is the Bengals, and he wanted to go see them in training camp in the summer. And I said no because it's too hot and humid out there. I don't want to go there in the summer. But he wanted to. He said, I'll pay for part of it. So I thought, wow, he really wants to do this. So I thought, you know what? Let's see about their schedule in the fall. So we found a game that we could go to, and then I told him, you know what? I want to take you on this game. So we're going to go as a father-son trip. And we're going to talk about some stuff. We'll do some dad stuff, but we'll also just have fun. And so we flew a red eye to Buffalo, and Eli's first red eye. Not fun, right, Eli? He's in the back now. We toured Niagara Falls on 2 hours of sleep. That was interesting. And then we did a lot of fun stuff. It was great. The next morning, we toured around Niagara a little bit more. And then we drove down to Canton, Ohio, did the Football Hall of Fame, and then saw a game in Cleveland the next day. They lost, but it was still a fun day, and he actually walked away with one of the players' game gloves that he got handed to him, so just a cool experience. But there was also intentionality with it. So it was intentional about creating this experience with him, but at the second morning in Niagara, you know, I had some things in mind that I wanted to share with him. So I told him before we went on the trip, we're going to talk about some stuff and trying to prep him that I just didn't catch him off guard. And to be honest, it was awkward. It was uncomfortable. I felt like I fumbled a little bit, but I did my best. I felt like there were generational things I wanted to pass on to him. So I wanted him to know that and to take that into him becoming a man. And I also called out things in him and characteristics and traits and qualities I see in him, but things that he's going to have to develop and that he's going to have to step into. And so it was good. I don't know how well he received it, but I know he heard it, and I know it'll have an impact. Ezra, hopefully I'll do better by the time I get to you in a couple of years. But it's about being intentional. It just doesn't just happen on its own. The part of being an intentional dad is also that part of inspecting our own heart and dealing with our own stuff. Right? I'm learning how to apologize. It's not easy for me, right, kids? I'm learning how to admit when I'm wrong. I'm not usually wrong, but when I have to admit it, when I am, I'm learning how to admit it. Ezra's shaking his head. But I'm also learning how to ask questions instead of dictating my solutions. You know, especially this last one. This worked when they were younger, and I think it was actually good for that stage. But I'm having to shift, and I'm learning how to, okay, I have to let them kind of figure it out. I have to shift my style. I don't always do it well, but I'm trying to get better at it. So dads, it starts in our hearts first. If we don't deal with our stuff, it's going to get passed along as generational baggage. But if we do, we can pass along generational blessings. Men, do you understand the responsibility that you carry as a father or spiritual father for your children and the direction of their future? Maybe you've known it and you've done it well, and I say, well done, and keep on that path. Maybe you've ignored it up until now, or maybe you weren't even aware of it before. Well, now you don't have that excuse. You've been made aware, so what are you going to do about it, team? How are we going to step up our game, dads? There's the saying that awareness brings action. Hopefully you've been made aware of some things today. But really, the words I'm sharing are just information. Until you take action on it, and that's what God wants, because he wants transformation. Until we take action, they're just words. So my question to you, team, men, what action step are you going to take? Remember that we have the privilege of participating in raising the future generation and leaders of God's church. Now, I do want to pause here before we get to some action steps that you can take and let you know that this isn't about shame. So if you're feeling shame or guilt or condemnation, that's not from the Lord. That's not how he operates. He does operate through conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts, but he does it with a gentle, kind heart. And as we were kind of prepping this morning, one of the prayer people talked about the prodigal son, that story, how the father, he ran to his son. That's how God is. When he convicts us, and he just wants us to turn, and he'll come running to us. It's not about a shame walk or anything like that, but God does convict our hearts. So I'm going to just list off some opportunities you guys have to respond. So first, it's prayer. As I said earlier, the prayer ministries, you can set up a prayer appointment and go for something that's a little bit deeper. But at minimum, men, I want you to come up today to the front and receive a blessing. So all men, spiritual fathers, dads with your own kids, come up here and receive a blessing from the Lord. If God's highlighted something to you in the message, you can ask for prayer for something specific as well. But at minimum, just come up and receive a blessing from the Lord. The prayer ministry teams will come up and pray for you. Second thing, for our gift today, it's not going to be in and out. Sorry, Bob. It's going to be this book that I'm reading, this Intentional Father. So you're going to get that in a little bit. And actually, I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for you guys. There's going to be an insert like this with some QR codes. This is the podcast that I got started on. It's kind of incorporates some of this book, but it's with another guy as well. But it's just stuff about parenting. And I want to make it simple. Start listening to the podcast. Start digging into how you can be a better dad, how you can be part of this team of being a dad, and how we can inspire our kids. And the book is super easy read. There's really small, short chapters. But at the end, there's a lot of practical things. For me, I like it because it gives me ideas on how I can do it. It's not just theoretical. He's talking about his journey with his own son, and it gives a lot of practical steps on how we can be better dads. I do want to highlight something on the subtitle is A Practical Guide to Raise Sons of Courage and Character. It's not just for dads with sons. The author even says in the beginning, this is just his journey he did with his son, but he says the principles apply to girls. It doesn't matter if you're a dad of girl or a dad of boys. There are some things later in the book, I think, that need to be tweaked a little bit more for girls than boys. But all of us dads were once boys, right? We were raised up. And so we can learn from this regardless. And we can see maybe how that influenced our parenting style. So it doesn't matter on that part, but I encourage you to read through this book. And the third action step that's available to you is when I was doing this kind of prep for this message, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to start a dad's group. So we're going to start a dad's group, for lack of a better word, a support group. I don't know, that sounds kind of depressing, but it's going to be like a dad's group. We're going to come and we'll go through some of the principles in here, so just some stuff that we can talk about. It's not required reading. It's not a sign up. I want to keep it really informal. But the first Sundays of the month, from like 5:30 to 7:30, bring your dinner. We're going to go to the Freedom Center. We're going to eat some dinner. We'll talk about a couple of principles, and we'll just get in groups and talk about what it's like, what we've done well, what we haven't, what stage our kids are at. I'm a dad of boys, so I actually asked Jason Miyake to join, and he's going to be there too. He's a dad of girls, so we got both bases covered, so whether you've got boys or girls. But, you know, if I've made mistakes and you can learn from them, I want to share them with you. I've heard that from, I have two older brothers. I've seen some things that they've done well, but I've also seen some things that they've made mistakes on, and they've even said, I wish I would have done this different. We need to be able to have a place where we can learn and share with each other. So whether you are, excuse me, currently a dad, you have kids that are older, they're still in the house, it doesn't matter, you're all welcome. If you are a spiritual dad and you want to know how you can pour into kids' lives better and you want to hear some of our stories, it's not going to be a complaint session, but that might happen here and there. But I really encourage you to come out. So again, it's not going to be a sign up or anything. I really felt the Lord said, if you start this group and people come once, they're going to be like saying, I need a group like this. So I feel like once you come out, you're going to say, like, I need to come back to this because this is life-giving and it's going to be great for my family. So men, I encourage you to take steps, right? Like I said, the stuff I gave you today is informational. Until you take steps to like enact it, it's really just head knowledge. But God wants it to be transformational. In closing, men, you have God's playbook available to you. What will you do with it? Our worship team, why don't you come up, and I'm going to close in prayer, and then during the first couple songs, men, just come up and receive a prayer of blessing. God, I just thank you for, I thank you for making me a man and the responsibility that comes with. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes it can feel like I'm a failure at it, but that's who you've made me to be. And God, all of us men here, I know deep down inside of us, you put that in there, that we want to be who you created us to be. So Lord, just, I know you're calling that out of us, but Lord, just help us to step into that, bring that transformation, and may that flow to the kids here in our church, the kids in our lives, our extended family. God, we have an important role to play in your kingdom, and if we don't step into that, your kingdom suffers. So man, I just pray a blessing over you right now, and I pray courage and strength over your hearts, over your minds, and over your families. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.